Then it is said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, all you who have believed, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, decreed upon you is fasting, as it was decreed upon those before you. Why? What is the purpose? La'allakum tattaqoon, that you may become righteous, so that you may be protected, you may be safeguarded. Remember, fasting is an act of worship. It is an obligation, which in the words of the Prophet ﷺ is فَرْضٌ مُجْزِئٌ. It is an obligation that will suffice a person in the hereafter. It is a very unique act of worship. إِنَّهُ لَا عِدْلَ لَهُ. It has no equivalent. It is a junnah, a shield. When a person fasts with faith and expectation of reward, all their past sins are forgiven. It is a deed that is private between the servant and his Lord. This is why Allah says, إِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. It is for me, and I will give reward for it. And we learn in this ayah, fasting produces taqwa. And the person who has taqwa, then all their affairs become easy. This is why fast happily. An entire month of fasting has been prescribed. Why? So that we can develop taqwa, the ability to leave sin, to avoid sin. Just as we leave our favorite foods and our favorite drinks while fasting, we should also leave sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of, deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Because taqwa means that a person does good, and taqwa also includes leaving sin. Fasting for a limited number of days, not all year round. So whoever among you is ill or on a journey during them, then an equal number of days, meaning they're to be made up later on. So missed fasts must be made up later in the year. And upon those who are able to fast, but with great hardship, such as someone who is very old or is terminally ill, then they should give a ransom as substitute. And what is that? Feeding a poor person for each day of fasting. So the fidya for one fast is feeding a poor person one meal. And whoever volunteers excess, so for example, they give two meals or feeds more people, it is better for him. So there is no limit to doing good. But to fast is better for you if you only knew. So at least try. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Qur'an. In fact, all divine scriptures were revealed in the month of Ramadan. So Ramadan is important because of the Qur'an. So what do you think about the Qur'an itself? What do you think about the blessings of the Qur'an and the mercy that it brings? Because of which this entire month was chosen for fasting. And the night in which it was revealed was made Laylatul Qadr. What is the Qur'an? It is a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever cites, meaning the new moon of the month, then let him fast it. And whoever is ill or in a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship. So when you're not able to fast in Ramadan because of a temporary condition, then make up the fasts later. This is the ease. And he wants for you to complete the period. So make sure you complete the number of fasts and to glorify Allah for that to which he has guided you. And perhaps you will be grateful. So another objective of fasting besides taqwa is shukr. And remember, in the month of Ramadan, one should pay special attention to making dua. So Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my servants ask you concerning me, that where is our Lord? Is he near? Is he far? Tell them, indeed I am near. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. There and then, meaning whenever you call upon Allah, in the morning or in the evening, at home or at home, because now there is no work from outside, work from home also. Wherever you are, night or day, any place, when you call upon Allah, Allah responds. Allah says, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. So let them respond to me. Because remember, a relationship is two ways. So if you want to be heard, you better hear and you listen to the other. Do not take anyone for granted. Don't just be a taker, also be a giver. And remember that sins actually become a barrier between the servant and his Lord. So if we want our du'as to be accepted, then we should also respond to Allah. We should accept Allah's commands. And they should believe in me. They should have hope. They should pray with determination that they may be rightly guided. The fact is that we need to make du'as for our own benefit. We need guidance. So keep making du'a in order that you may be guided by Allah throughout your life, no matter what you are going through. And Ramadan is one of the best times to make du'a, especially for those who are fasting. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that there are three people whose du'a is not rejected. And one of them is وَالصَّائِمُ حَتَّى يُفْطِرُ, the fasting person until he breaks his fast. So as long as you're fasting, make du'a. Now some more rules related to fasting are given. It has been made permissible for you the night preceding fasting to go to your wives, meaning for sexual relations. Because during the fast, this is not permissible, but during the night, it is. They are clothing for you, and you are clothing for them. And a person is in need of their clothes. Remember that clothes cover a person, protect a person, and beautify a person. So take care of this dress, this garment that Allah has given. Value it. Value this relationship and give it the attention that it deserves. Allah knows that you used to deceive yourselves, meaning you were having relations in the night while you were initially unsure of its permissibility in the month of Ramadan. However, He has accepted your repentance and forgave you. So now have relations with them and seek that which Allah has decreed for you, meaning the enjoyment that Allah has made permissible for you, then seek it without guilt. And eat and drink, meaning in the night, until the white thread of dawn becomes distinct to you from the black thread of the night, meaning until the time that the fast begins. Then complete the fast until the sunset, and do not have relations with them as long as you are staying for worship in the mosques, meaning during i'tikaf, this is not allowed. These are the limits set by Allah, so do not approach them, because if you approach them, then you will fall into them, you will violate them. Thus does Allah make clear His ordinances to the people, that they may become righteous. They are saved from a bad outcome in this life and in the next. And do not consume one another's wealth unjustly. And how is that? Through theft or deception, cheating, robbery, fraud. So do not do that. Nor should you send it in bribery to the rulers in order that they might aid you to consume a portion of the wealth of the people in sin while you know. Meaning while you know that it is unlawful for you. Don't do that. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ, they ask you about the new moons, meaning about the changing form of the moon, how it increases, decreases, its waxing and its waning. Tell them they are measurements of time for the people and for Hajj. So the increase, decrease of the moon, this is basically a calendar which Allah has given you, which allows you to determine the times of worship, when to go for Hajj, when to fast in Ramadan, when Ramadan begins and it ends. And it is not righteousness to enter houses from the back, but righteousness is in one who fears Allah. And enter houses from their doors, and fear Allah that you may succeed. Enter houses from their doors, because the Arabs, they used to think that it would bring bad luck if they returned from Hajj and they entered the house from the main door. So they would enter from the back door. So what is this ayah teaching us? That do things in the right way. Don't be superstitious. Approach things from the right way. Adopt the correct manner. Fight in the way of Allah, those who fight you, but do not transgress. Why? Indeed, Allah does not like the transgressors. So do not transgress in the name of Allah's religion also. Because if you do that, you will lose Allah's love. And kill them wherever you overtake them. And expel them from wherever they have expelled you. Meaning Makkah. And fitna is worse than killing. They persecuted you because of your religion. That is worse than killing. And do not fight them at Al-Masjid Al-Haram until they fight you there. But if they fight you, then you also kill them. Such is the recompense of the disbelievers. And if they seize then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. A lot of people will quote the previous ayah, but they will not think about this ayah. If they cease, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Fight them until there is no fitna and until worship is for Allah. But if they cease, then there is to be no transgression except against the oppressors. Fighting in the sacred month is for aggression committed in the sacred month. Meaning if someone fights you in it, then you may fight them back. Otherwise, this is not allowed. And for all violations is legal retribution. So whoever has assaulted you, then you assault him in the same way that he has assaulted you. You're allowed to take revenge. But fear Allah, and know that Allah is with those who fear Him. So do not commit transgression in His name. Do not violate His limits. If you want the help of Allah, then you better have taqwa of Allah. And spend in the way of Allah. And do not throw yourselves with your own hands into destruction. Because remember, stinginess is something that leads to destruction. And do good. Indeed, Allah loves the doers of good. So if you wish to gain the love of Allah, then be good. Do good. We saw in the previous verses how we are encouraged to spend on relatives and on those who are in need. And that is excellent. Here, we are being told to spend in another way, which is fi sabilillah, for the deen of Allah, for its advancement, promotion, its strength. Generally, when we think about charity, we only think about people in need. And that is certainly charity, but it is not the only way of spending for the pleasure of Allah. We must also think about spending on our masajid, on our mosques, on our religious institutions. Why? Because if the masajid are there, if the religious institutions are running, only then will we have our deen. And if our deen is there, then we are safe. And if not, then we are ruined. Then hajj is mentioned. And complete the hajj and umrah for Allah. Purely for Allah's pleasure, for His sake. Not for the sake of getting a title, Hajj or Hajji. No, for the sake of Allah. Nor should you do it for the praise of people. وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ For the sake of Allah. But if you are prevented, then offer what can be obtained with ease of sacrificial animals. Meaning if you intend to go for Hajj and you have left for Hajj already, but something has prevented you from completing the Hajj, then you have to offer a sacrificial animal. And do not shave your heads until the sacrificial animal has reached its place of slaughter. And whoever among you is ill or has an ailment of the head, then a ransom of fasting, 3 days, or charity, or sacrifice. And when you are secure, then whoever performs umrah during the hajj months, followed by hajj, offers what can be obtained with ease of sacrificial animals. And whoever cannot find or afford such an animal, then a fast of 3 days during Hajj and of 7 when you have returned home. Those are 10 complete days. This rule is for who? Those whose family is not in the area of Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And fear Allah and know, gain knowledge that Allah is severe in penalty. So in this ayah, we learn about some rules related to Hajj. Remember, Hajj is an obligation. And the Prophet ﷺ said, consecutively perform Hajj and Umrah. Why? Because doing so removes poverty and sins, just as a furnace removes filth from iron. Hajj is during well-known months. So whoever has made Hajj obligatory upon himself therein by entering the state of Ihram, there is to be for him no sexual relations and no disobedience and no disputing during Hajj. So Hajj is not a honeymoon, nor is it a time to fight. The entire focus should be on Allah Azza wa Jal. And whatever good you do in the journey of Hajj, Allah knows it. Whatever salah you perform, charity you give, dua you make, dhikr you do. And some say that when you enter Makkah, then you should not leave it before completing the recitation of the entire Qur'an. So whatever good you do, Allah knows it. And take provisions. Whatever you need for the journey, take that along with you. But indeed, the best provision is fear of Allah. So go there with the fear of Allah, so that you harm no one, and you also perform the rituals properly. And fear me, O you of understanding. There is no blame upon you for seeking bounty from your Lord during Hajj. But when you depart from Arafat, then remember Allah at Al-Mash'ar al-Haram and remember Him as He has guided you. Not in your own made-up ways. Remember Allah the way that He has instructed. For indeed you were before that among those astray. Then depart from the place from where all people depart. You see, the Quraysh, they would consider themselves too special to go out of the Haram to Arafah. So they're told over here, depart from the place from where all the people depart. Meaning, at Hajj, everyone is equal. And ask forgiveness of Allah. This should be our ultimate concern at Hajj. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. And when you have completed your rites, remember Allah like your previous remembrance of your fathers, or with much greater remembrance. Remember Allah in a better way, with more attentiveness. And among the people is he who says, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Our Lord, give us in this world. Meaning, he only prays for the world. And such a person will have in the hereafter no share at all. But among them is he who says, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Among them is he who says, Our Lord, give us in this world that which is good, health, safety, iman, taqwa, tawakkul, love of Allah, mercy. And in the hereafter also, that which is good, forgiveness, seeing Allah, Jannatul Firdaus, the company of the righteous. O Allah, give us good here in this life and also give us good in the next life, in the hereafter. And protect us from the punishment of the fire. Meaning take us safely and directly into paradise, not through hell. So when you go for Hajj, when you make du'as, don't just ask for dunya. Don't just go for worldly benefits. Have a greater goal, because Allah can give us both. Allah can give us dunya and the akhirah. And this du'a is a du'a that the Prophet ﷺ would make very, very frequently, because it combines all the good things of this life and of the next life. Those will have a share of what they have earned, and Allah is swift in account. So each person will get what they have earned. Whatever a person strives for is what they will get. The thing is that when a person becomes greedy for this world, then by default they neglect the hereafter. And since the hereafter is better than this world is just like a wing of a mosquito or less than that near Allah, then such a person is settling for what is less. And when they are lowering their standards, they also fall in the sight of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ warned us, the hour is drawing near, and people are only increasing in their greed for the world. And by that, they're only increasing in their distance from Allah. So yes, it is fine to like the things of this world, to want the things of this world, to have worldly goals, but they should not become our ultimate concern. Our ultimate concern should be the success, the good things of the hereafter. And remember Allah during specific numbered days, meaning the days of Hajj. Then whoever hastens his departure in 2 days, meaning from Mina, this is in Ayyam al-Tashriq, there is no sin upon him. And whoever delays until the third, there is no sin upon him. For him who fears Allah. Again, the main thing is taqwa. We give a lot of importance to the external aspect of righteous deeds, but the internal state is also very important. And fear Allah, and know that unto him you will be gathered. And of the people is he whose speech pleases you in worldly life, and he calls Allah to witness as to what is in his heart. Yet he is aladdul khisam, the fiercest of opponents. You see, there's some people who do sweet talk, but when you deal with them, they're quick to fight and argue. They want people to listen to their words only. They don't want to be criticized or told anything. And God forbid, if someone does, they get triggered. And they fight with all their might, overreacting, exploding in their rage. Aladdul khisam. And this is something that needs to be changed. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the most despicable amongst people in the sight of Allah is the ruthless, argumentative person. People also avoid such individuals, and Allah also does not like them. وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ This is something that we need to avoid. Do not argue. Do not be stubborn. And when he goes away, he strives throughout the land to cause corruption therein and destroy crops and animals. And Allah does not like corruption. What a destructive personality. With people also arguing, fighting, hurting. And outside also, with the environment also, destructive. And when it is said to him, fear Allah, then what happens? Pride in the sin takes hold of him, meaning he gets worse than before. Sufficient for him is hell. And how wretched is the resting place. And of the people is he who sells himself, seeking means to the approval of Allah. So humble, no ego problem whatsoever. Such a person is willing to give their life even to please Allah. This is how eager they are to please Allah. So, if they're willing to sacrifice their life, what do you think? Will they not be able to control their tongue? They will bite their tongue instead of unleashing it. They will control their anger instead of exploding with it. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ And such people who make such great sacrifices for the sake of Allah, that in order to protect themselves and others from a greater evil, they stop arguing. Then Allah is kind to His servants. Don't have the fear of missing out. Don't think you have to always fight for everything. Allah is compassionate. When you sacrifice for the sake of Allah, when you are humble for the sake of Allah, then Allah is kind towards His servants. Expect His kindness. O you who have believed, enter into Islam kafatan, completely. And do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. So whether it is the matter of marriage, or income, or food, or divorce, in every matter of life, follow the commands of Islam. Shaitan will distract you to other ways, but do not follow shaitan. فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ But if you deviate, after clear proofs have come to you, then know that Allah is exalted in might and wise. And you fear Allah. Do they await but that Allah should come to them in covers of clouds and the angels as well, and the matter is then decided, and to Allah all matters are returned. Ask the children of Israel how many a sign of evidence we have given them, and whoever exchanges the favor of Allah for disbelief after it has come to him, then indeed Allah is severe in penalty. Beautified for those who disbelieve is the life of this world. Why? Because this is all they know. And they ridicule those who believe. They make fun of the Muslims. But this is not going to stay like this forever. This is not going to last forever. But those who fear Allah are above them on the day of resurrection. The tables will turn. And Allah gives provision to whom He wills without account. Mankind was of one religion. Meaning at the beginning, all people were upon the same religion. Then Allah sent the prophets as bringers of good tidings and as warners, and sent down with them the scripture in truth. Why? To judge between the people concerning that in which they differed. And none differed over the scripture except those who were given it after the clear proofs came to them. Why? Out of jealous animosity among themselves. Many times, despite knowledge, people differ with one another. The reason is not ignorance. It is not that they don't know. It is actually ego. It is jealousy. It is pride. And Allah guided those who believed to the truth concerning that over which they had differed. In all of those differences, those who asked Allah for guidance, those who did not harbor jealousy and pride in their hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to the truth by His permission. And Allah guides whom He wills to a straight path. This is why we should keep praying, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Now, trials and tests are mentioned. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ Or do you think that you will enter paradise? Do you think you will enter Jannah without exerting any effort, without doing any hard work? Do you think entry into Jannah is that easy? while such trial has not yet come to you as that which came to those who passed on before you? They were touched by poverty and hardship and were shaken until even their messenger and those who believed with him said, when is the help of Allah? Mata nasrullah? What is Allah's response? Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb. Unquestionably, the help of Allah is near. What do we see in this ayah? Allah tests even his messengers and his believing servants. And sometimes these tests, these hardships go on for a very long time, to a point that even the prophets wondered, when is the help of Allah coming? Isn't it about time that we get relief? And remember that when a difficulty feels too long, a trial feels too long, then remind yourself, Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb. The help of Allah is just coming. So what does that mean? That when there is a trial, especially something that affects your deen, then remain firm and seek the help of Allah through patience and through prayer. And do not give up, because the help of Allah is coming shortly. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They ask you, what is it that they should spend? Say, whatever you spend of good is to be for parents and other relatives and orphans and those in need and the traveler, and whatever you do of good, indeed Allah is knowing of it. So spend in different causes of goodness. The opportunities are many. Any good cause that you spend in, Allah is knowing of it. This is why whatever you give, give it for Him. Give it for His sake, not as a favor to others. Then it is said, fighting has been enjoined upon you while it is hateful to you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But perhaps you hate a thing and it is good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And perhaps you love a thing and in reality it is bad for you. So who knows? Wallahu ya'lamu, and Allah knows. Wa antum la ta'lamun, while you do not know. The person who understands this ayah, their life becomes easy. Think about the different things that you find hard, and remind yourself now that it is all about perspective. It is all about perspective. It's quite possible that what we find hard is in reality good for us, and what we find easy is in reality hard or difficult or in reality bad for us. So who knows what is really good for us and what is really bad for us? Allah knows. This is why trust His decisions, trust His decrees. When Allah decides something for you, then accept it. Realize that there is good in it for you, no matter how painful that situation is for you. Sometimes there is something that you desperately desire. You believe that it is excellent for you, but it is just out of reach. It is unattainable. You are not able to get it. So don't remain sad over it. Don't be miserable over it. It looks pretty. It looks attractive. It looks like the best option for you. But remind yourself that every glittering thing is not gold. Accept the decree of Allah. And the one who accepts the decree of Allah, believes in Allah, then Allah guides his heart. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. And also remember that every trial for the believer is actually a blessing. How? Because a loss can become a means of expiation of sins. Patience over loss, patience over hurt, can become a means of great, immeasurable reward for the believer. So for the believer, both hardship and ease are in reality blessings. Hasan al-Basri said, do not resent the tribulations in your life. Why? Because it is quite possible that your salvation lies in the very thing you hate. It is quite possible that what you hate, what you dislike, what you find so painful, is the very way to your success. The obstacle is the way. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ. They ask you about the sacred month, about fighting therein. Say, fighting therein is great sin. but averting people from the way of Allah and disbelief in Him and preventing access to Al-Masjid Al-Haram and the expulsion of its people therefrom are actually greater evil in the sight of Allah. And fitna, persecution, is greater than killing. And they will continue to fight you until they turn you back from your religion, if they're able. And whoever of you reverts from his religion to disbelief and dies while he's a disbeliever, for those, their deeds have become worthless in this world and in the hereafter. And those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. This is the punishment for the apostate, for the one who leaves Islam. This is why we should keep praying to Allah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. Our Lord, do not allow our hearts to be deviated. Indeed, those who have believed and those who have immigrated and fought in the cause of Allah, those who do something, they're the ones who expect the mercy of Allah, and Allah is forgiving and merciful.